This is Brother Gibbon O. Blakely. Today our speaker is going to be Brother Robert Cobb, Associate Minister of the Word of Truth Fellowship in Joplin, Missouri. He's going to be ministering on In Jesus is No Sin. And now here is Brother Robert.
Today I'll be ministering from 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Has this always been Jesus' condition? What about before He was born of a virgin? Was He sinless then? Where did Jesus come from? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Scripture declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Our doctrines must be molded or shaped by the Word of God. We cannot allow the mind of the flesh to invade and parade itself in these vital areas of Scripture. After reading the text, how could a person say that Jesus is not God? And yet you will hear many today speaking such things. I know that it's not popular to say these things, but God said that the Word was with God and that the Word was God. Our understanding of Scripture must allow God to be God, and it must allow for us to be His servants. At some point in our advancement in the kingdom of God, we must come to the place where we acknowledge that God is right. In everything that He's declared, everything that He's done, everything that He's purposed, He has done all things well. Really, this is the beginning stages of discipleship. Was Jesus holy and just before He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh? Well, of course He was. He was the Word, and He was with God, and He was God. John 1, verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." We can see that Jesus was sinless in His pre-man condition. But what about after He was born of a virgin? And why be born of a virgin? Why did the Word take on the form of a man, one of His own creations? Was it only His love that compelled Him to do this? We know from John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that this consideration was in God's mind before He ever made man. Before man had ever sinned, God's eternal purpose was at work. Before anything was ever created, God had an eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul declares this in Ephesians 3, verse 8. "Unto me, who am blessed in the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see or understand what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now we can clearly see that this God of love is moved by purpose. He is moved by divine intentions. He is working in those who are the benefactors of His grace and love. To do what? To teach or to reveal His nature to principalities and powers in heavenly places. God had purposed to deliver them who all their lifetime had been subject to bondage. But still the question stands unanswered. Why a virgin? We have seen that God is moved by purpose. But why specifically a virgin? Could Jesus have been born by any woman? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, if God was going to save men, then a sinless man must be employed to do the work of bearing the sins of humanity. The lineage of Adam, we see, had become defiled by sin. So God must enter into the work to ensure its success. A virgin could be used to produce a human from any lineage, but after that she wouldn't be a virgin anymore. In order for her to conceive, her virginity would have to be lost in the conception. But we'll find that this is not true with God. In Isaiah 7:14, it reads, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." A virgin, listener, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She was a virgin at His birth, and shall call His name Emmanuel. a virgin, one who has not been known by any man. She shall conceive. This virgin, this one that's not been known by any man, she shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Luke 1:34, then said Mary to the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus is a sinless man, because God is his Father. This God of purpose made a way that the Word could be made flesh and remain in a sinless condition. Jesus was a man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. But that is not all he is. He is also the Son of God. To testify to the sinless condition of the Christ of God, it is recorded in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. But will Jesus remain sinless? We are not alone. We have an enemy that has been successful in tempting every child of Adam to sin. But this is not a child of Adam. This is the Son of God. How will Jesus fare against the wiles of the devil? Jesus told his disciples as he was entering into the final days of his life here in the flesh, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 14:30. We can see from Jesus' temptation that he was no ordinary man. Satan did not have a foothold in the nature of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was sinless. Why? Because Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was not struggling with sinful desires inherited in the children of Adam. No, he was sinless. Why? Because he was the Son of God. God was his Father, and the works of his Father he would do. On one occasion, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God had testified of what his consideration of Jesus was. He spoke out of heaven. He was pleased with Jesus. And why? Because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Jesus was sinless at his birth. He lived a perfect and sinless life here as a child, and as a teenager, and as a man. He was sinless at his baptism. When John the Baptist testified of him, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Jesus was the sinless one that God could use to effectively put away sin. In the days of the tabernacle worship, God had taught man what was required in order to make atonement for sin. Although we do not have enough time to probe the depths of this truth, I would like to extract from this example that there was a price to be paid for atonement. And that price was the cost of something that was alive. This account is recorded in Leviticus chapter 16. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. The act of making an atonement was not to be taken lightly, because it involved the loosing of something that was alive. Leviticus chapter 16, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. There came a time when the one who knew no sin was made to be sin. Jesus, this one who had knew no sin, was made to be sin. Jesus is the high priest and the sacrifice in our example. He is both goats. This salvation is much deeper than we could possibly realize. So it took a type that had some depth to understand it. Both goats were without spot. Christ was sinless. Both goats were never used for anything other than the purpose of making atonement for sin. Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There came a time when God had laid on Jesus the sins of the whole world. Jesus, having never sinned, now is made to be sin in order that he might carry them away. Like the scapegoat, when they laid their hands on his head and confessed the sins of the house of Israel, there came a time when God laid his hands on the head of Jesus and transferred the sins of the whole world onto his body on the tree. It was at this time that God would lead him out to a land that was not inhabited and let him go. Men cannot find adequate words to describe the emotion that was felt by the living God at that moment. But God gave us his thoughts when he said in Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." We are seeing in this that there is a cost that is levied on all those who would walk in the path of our Savior. There is a cost associated with obeying God. Jesus, this one that was sinless, this one that had never sinned, at the moment he was let go by God, had become sin. Is this the end of the matter? Was the Father's love for the banished so strong that he would eternally curse his Son on their behalf? God forbid. The fact that Jesus had never personally sinned could not be overlooked by death. For the Word says that the soul that sinneth shall die. And Jesus had died. But what about after that? Is life more than living here in the flesh? God testified to the world concerning his beloved Son when he raised him from the dead. Death could not hold that which it did not possess. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullest of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:10 and 11. Jesus laid down his life in order that he might take it up again. He had received this commandment from his Father. He gave his life in order that we might have life and have it more abundantly. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead is our proof that he had accomplished his work. That he indeed had put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God has highly exalted Jesus and ensconced him at his own right hand in the heavens because he is sinless. Hear it again, saints of the Most High God. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin.